bring the message, the Word of God. I've asked my son Lewis to play a song on his trumpet. And come now, Lewis.
All right, y'all have to forgive me a little bit. Oh, I'm from Texas, if you guys didn't know, so we say y'all. So they have to forgive me. I'm a little bit rusty, but that's okay. I'm going to go ahead and we're going to do this anyway. All right.
Thank you, son. It makes me very happy for my children to play music, and I know it would make their dad very, very happy. I don't know. I don't know that he could hear him, but if he could, he'd be rejoicing. So someday, around the throne of God, there will be instruments, and there will be music, and there will be rejoicing, and we are part of that someday. All right, the children can be dismissed to go to their classes now if you would like to go. All right. I thought that Jerry was going to bring my message to you, but he stopped, so we're going to go ahead. I have, we're letting these children go. I'm so thankful for those that work with the children. That's a very, 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 bye-bye. That's a very, very important ministry, because when you give your heart to Jesus when you're just a child, you have that faith planted. You know, there is a gift, the faith, the word of faith that's planted in your heart. And then when they get to be a little older and they're teenagers and they have people saying, oh, I don't believe, they've already got it planted. So what a ministry. I think that teaching the children is probably one of the greatest. I don't know if it's more important than teaching adults, but it is definitely an important ministry. And I'm so appreciative of those who are willing to step in and say, I will fill in the gap when we're minus somebody who's teaching. And I know that Ramona says it's such a wonderful opportunity to witness to them, and they're receptive. And I'm thankful for that. So I have titled my message today, Jesus Christ, Our High Priest. Jesus Christ, Our High Priest. I would like to just say a word of prayer before I begin the message. Heavenly Father, I thank you for that wonderful provision that you've made for us. I thank you for your love. I thank you for the anointing that we sense here today, your presence with us. There is nothing that we desire more than your presence to be with us and to be in us. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to take control. Let the words that I speak be words that come from your heart. And I pray that you will let it lodge within our minds and in our hearts, that we might serve you and draw nearer to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Jesus Christ, our High Priest. In Genesis, we see a first account of where Abram encountered somebody, and I will read that, the 14th chapter. Abram, the friend, I'm not going to read it, I'm going to tell you about it. Abram, the friend of God, entered into battle to rescue his nephew, Lot. He went to battle. And remember, Lot was his nephew. Abram, years ago, came and journeyed from Ur of the Chaldees. And so he wanted to rescue his nephew, Lot. He had been captured. And on his return, Abram was met by Melchizedek, king of Salem. Now, Salem actually is the word for Jerusalem, king of Jerusalem. Who is the king of Jerusalem? He will reign one day. He is the king. And so Melchizedek was a type of Jesus there. And he was met by Melchizedek, king of Salem, and priest of the Most High God. Priest of the Most High God. There's only one who's the priest of the Most High God, Jesus. This man whose name means the King of Righteousness. Who is the King of Righteousness? He is the King. Only Jesus can have that title. This man whose name means King of Righteousness blessed Abram and the Most High God who gave victory to Abram. I think it's interesting. Sometimes we wonder, why is it that we have an offering plate here? And we didn't mention to you that it's not here now, but our treasurer has taken it to take care of the finances. I'm appreciative of that. But, you know, sometimes we wonder, well, why do churches, and some people say, why do they give offerings? Well, here, in return for the blessing that Abram received from Melchizedek, Abram gave a tithe, 10% of all the spoils of war, to Melchizedek. He gave it unto the Lord. Abram acknowledged Melchizedek's high position as the priest of God. Years later, Abraham's great-grandson, Levi, was singled out by God to be the father of the priestly tribe. When the law was given on Mount Sinai, the Levites were chosen as the servants of the tabernacle. They took care of the things in the tabernacle. And then the family of Aaron became the priests. In the lineage of Aaron, the high priest was established. The priests were responsible for making intercession to God for the people by offering sacrifices that the law required. There were blood sacrifices they had to offer. And the interesting thing was that the high priest must offer an offering for himself. And he had to set himself aside and dedicate himself, sanctify himself, because when he went into the presence of God, if he was not holy and pure within, and if he hadn't sacrificed and been accepted, he would die. The high priest was an inherited office in ancient Israel. Your son became the high priest, and it was passed down. And it was held for life, usually, unless somebody died beforehand. Or if God took him out. We know there were some priests that were taken out because God said they're not holy. They're not keeping my holiness before the people. And so Aaron was anointed unto the office as high priest. He was anointed at the age of 83, the first high priest. And he died on Mount Hor at the age of 123. He was a high priest for life. The role of the high priest was a mediation, somebody between God and man. Remember I told you how Job said, oh, that there would be somebody who could connect me to God. Oh, that somebody could take my petitions and represent me to God. Well, that's what the high priest did. He was the highest ranking spiritual leader among the Israelites. And his responsibility on the Day of Atonement was to sprinkle blood on the Ark of the Covenant. But he had offered for himself. Now, I understand the priest wore unique vestures. They had a breastplate of precious gems that were designed by God. They were things that represented the holiness of God. And in Exodus, the 28th chapter, verse 30, Moses wrote there, and God said, and thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment, the Urim and the Thummim, the breastplate of judgment. You see, the high priest had to wear this. He carried those two items, and I tried to figure out, what are they? But it's a judgment, the ability, the anointing of God to make judgments that he needed to make. What a great responsibility he carried. If he made a wrong judgment, he could be judged. And then he says, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart. They were placed upon his heart. And what a weight he must carry when he goes in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. You know that there are times when people have a special burden for someone. And it's like a heaviness. And God, what is it that I'm to pray about? What is it? And I believe I would probably equate that to that somewhat. That burden that the high priest had for the people. When they sinned, he knew that he had to come and present it to God. He had to bring, carry that judgment. And tradition says that the high priest, and I tried to find it in the Bible. I know I have heard it, and I'll leave it. I'm just saying tradition says that the high priest of Israel would enter the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest. There are priests that could go into the holy place, but only the high priest could go in the most holy place. And when he would go into the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle or the temple, there would be a scarlet rope tied to his foot or his waist, and with bells around his waist. A priest in the holy place held the other end of this rope. One of the priests that was in the holy place held the other end. And why do you think he did that? Because if his sacrifice was not acceptable, if there was sin in his life, he would be stricken dead. Well, nobody could go in the most holy place except the high priest. How would they get the body out? So they had a provision where they could draw him out if he was stricken dead. And the glory of God filled the Holy of Holies. Oh, that God would let us sense his holy, glorious presence. He does, doesn't he? But that's because of Jesus. Since nobody else could enter that part without dying, the priest had to retrieve his body. If this tradition is true, it would be a powerful reminder of God's holiness and how we should praise Jesus, give glory to Jesus for giving us the direct access to God's throne that he provides. How do we have that access to go into the Holy of Holies? Well, in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that Jesus became that high priest. In the second chapter, verses 16 and 18, it says, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels. When Jesus came to earth, he didn't take on the nature of angelic beings. He became a man. He took on him the seed of Abraham. He became humanity so that he could give his life for us to have access to God. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. He had to understand what we go through. You understand that he was tempted in every point, just as we are. When you're going through a difficult place, Jesus has already gone through it before. It says, in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them who are tempted. He can comfort them. He can sustain them. When you're going through a dark place, he will sustain you. Jesus became a man in order to suffer death and serve as our high priest. As a man, he was subject to all the weaknesses and the temptations that we are. He could personally relate to us in our struggles. He is called our great high priest, and that gives us the boldness to come unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. We can obtain the mercy of God and find grace to help in time of need. In Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verses 14 and 16, it says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Let us hold on to it. Don't be dissuaded or discouraged. Don't give up hope. When you go through something, don't say, well, why is God doing this to me? We hold firmly to the faith that we have. We do not have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weaknesses. Empathize means feel it exactly the way that you feel it. And he says, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace. In the 7th chapter of Hebrews, the writer says, because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. The priests, the high priests, only served until they died. Jesus is eternal. So forever he is a high priest. Therefore, he's able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy and blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day. We know that he offered it, says, once and for all. He sacrificed when he offered himself. In the 9th chapter of Hebrews, it says, but unto the second tabernacle went the high priest alone once every year, and I've told you that. Not without blood. He did not go in without blood. He had to bring the blood of a lamb and offer it. It says, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people, the high priest did. But by these daily and yearly sacrifices, the sins of the people were temporarily covered. It was not a permanent removal. It was a temporary covering until the Messiah could take away their sins. Jesus offered a sacrifice to satisfy the law of God. His sacrifice, he offered himself for our sins. Unlike the Levitical priests who had to continually offer sacrifices, Jesus only had to offer it once, gaining eternal redemption for all who come to God through him. In Hebrews, the 6th chapter, the 16th through the 20th verses, the writer wrote, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. There are a lot of people today that say, I don't know what hope there is. I don't know what I'm living for. I don't understand life. I don't know what's ahead. But he says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. It's firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. This high priest that we have, he has gone in for us. Where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf, he has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. In Hebrews, the 9th chapter, when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands. He went before the presence of God. That is to say, it's not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. You remember in Matthew, we have read when Jesus died on the cross. Remember what happened. He was on the cross of Jesus in Matthew, the 27th chapter, and it's recorded in all of the Gospels. But when Jesus was dying on the cross, he cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. He said, "It's finished." One of my grandkids said, "Is that the last words he said?" Yes, that's one of the last. "It's finished. The price has been paid, and the whole most holy place is open now for us to go in because of his blood." It says, "And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. There was an earthquake, and the rocks were split." And I know that it says that the centurion that stood there, he said, "Surely this was the Son of God." It was the Son of God. Yes, it was. The very creation shook and quaked because Jesus, the Creator, died on the cross to take away our sins. And he opened that gate, or that way, that veil was torn that separates us from the holiest of holies. Now we can go in, not on our own works, not because of who we are, only by the blood of Jesus. Only through him can we go. Jesus Christ, our high priest, stands between a just God and those who are guilty of breaking God's law. He stands, he speaks in our behalf, just like the high priest did, behalf of the people. He offered a sacrifice for them. Jesus offered a sacrifice for us. And he speaks to God, "Here is the sacrifice, accept it." And you never have to worry. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. There was no sin. It is acceptable eternally with God. He pleads on our behalf for forgiveness and mercy. Not based on our innocence, not because we've never sinned, but because we have come to him and asked for mercy and forgiveness. But on the fact that he's already fulfilled the death sentence in our place. He's already paid for it. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life only through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There are some people that think that their works or their goodness or the things that they do, that is enough and they don't need God. But that isn't true. We must go through Jesus Christ. Only his blood can bring us into that holy place. So the question, of course, and then we have a scripture in 1 John 1:9 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." I believe that's the right reference. And so the question for each of us is whether we're placing our trust in Jesus or are we placing our trust in our own works. Jesus has made provision. He is our high priest. And my son tell the story. I should ask him to tell it. And he tells about how that if we depend on our works, this man that witnesses on the street, very often they say, "Well, I'm a good person." Somebody says, "Well, I'm a good person. You know, I do." And of course, when you interview the person and have you ever told a lie? Well, yeah, but well, then what does that make you? Well, it makes you a liar. Have you ever, had sex before marriage? Everybody does. Well, that makes you a fornicator. And so it goes down the list, and we see that we're not good. There is none good. There is none righteous, not one. And we have to recognize, and these people to whom this man is witnessing, they say, "Well, I'm really a good person. I think if there's a heaven, I'll be there." No. You will not be in heaven unless you have gone through the blood of Jesus and accepted him as your sacrifice. It's like saying, I'm just gonna chance it what do you say, Lewis? They say that it's like I'm gonna jump out of an airplane and I'll just flap my arms. No, we need the parachute that will guide us to safety. Gotta have a parachute, and that parachute is Jesus Christ. He is our advocate, and we can be secure. We can know where we are going because this life is only temporary. We'll be in this body for a while. There isn't one of us that's going to be here long. We know we just got a report recently. I hear all the time, and you do too. Well, how could this happen? This person was only 14 years old, or this person was only 25 or 43. We don't know when the time is, but the Bible says that it's appointed unto man once to die. Every person will die unless we're here when Jesus comes, and then we're going to be changed, which is a death to this body. But he says, after this comes the judgment. We all will stand before God. And then am I going to say, well, I've been a good person? No. When you sense the presence of God, when he draws near to you, you recognize how unworthy you are. I am unworthy to stand before him, only covered by the blood of Jesus. There is nothing else that can make me worthy, only Jesus. And he is our high priest. And so I tell you today, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ to be your high priest, if you have not committed yourself to him, I beg you, make that decision today. You can say, well, I just want to wait till I'm a little older. Don't wait. You never know. You never know. And it's not just like Pastor Richie was saying this morning. None of us are perfect. We make mistakes. But what do we do when we make a mistake? We go back and say, Jesus, I've made a mistake. And it is by your blood that I am forgiven. I thank you for the blood that you shed for me. That's why he paid the price. Man could not live under the law and be perfect. Jesus was the only one who kept the law perfectly. We have not been able to do that. But through Jesus, we can be made perfect in him. Amen. So I ask you today, if you're watching today and you say, well, I really haven't done that. I haven't really thought about how important it is. It is important. There is none righteous. None of us are good. But Jesus gives us his righteousness. He became sin for us and gave us his righteousness. You can be righteous, but only through him. So I ask you today to make the decision. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. Let him be your high priest. He will take you before God and he will present his blood to the Father and say, forgive this man, this woman, this boy, this child. Forgive them because I paid the penalty for their sin. And it says that the wages of sin is death, but Jesus paid for our sins, that death. Let us just pray together and pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the precious name of Jesus, our high priest. We come because of him. We cannot approach your holiness except through Jesus. I thank you that Jesus is our way to you. There is no other way. There is no other particular religion. It is only through Jesus that we can be redeemed and saved from sin. I ask you to forgive us of our sins and give us a place with you in heaven. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I beg you, begin to read the Bible. Read the Word of God. It brings life, and you'll live as you read that Word. Thank you for joining us today at Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. Have a beautiful week. If there is anyone here today that has not made that absolute decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life, and maybe you say, well, I don't understand it. It all seems strange to me. You don't have to understand. You just accept. I remember my husband saying, it's like jumping out and saying, okay, God, I trust your word. You said that you would save me. You said that you would forgive me of my sins, and I trust you. He is faithful to do exactly what he said. He'll make you a new creation in him. If there's anybody here that needs that work of grace in your life, we'd like to pray with you. If you want us to pray with you, we're happy to do that. Is there anyone here that wants special prayer? Billy Graham said when he was interviewed by his pastor, and he said, pastor said, how is it that you win so many people for Jesus? I don't know the exact words. I'm not quoting. But But he said, I never, ever close a service. I never stop talking to anyone without inviting them to let Jesus come into their hearts. And so I invite you today. It's not anything that you have to be embarrassed about. It's nothing you have to be ashamed of. Jesus was not ashamed to hang on that cross naked, stripped of all dignity. He did it for you, and he did it for me. So if there's anyone here, maybe you don't want to come forward, if you just lift your hand and we'll pray for you. Okay. All right, is there anyone who has special, you just want us to keep you in prayer for other needs? We are glad to pray for you. And, okay, I know all of us have things that we're asking the Lord in our lives. We always have to grow. There's always something that we have the Lord to lead us. Say, God, lead me, direct me. That's why he sent his Holy Spirit, because it is a direction. He is a guide for us. Amen. Yeah, Joshua.